Ben, thanks so much for joining us. I was said to you that we are in a teaching series at the moment talking about the church. So first question is, when I say the word church, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, well, first of all, hi, my name's Ben, and I want to come see you guys sometime. Absolutely love you, Bevan, and the entire family, and it's so good to be here and be able to speak into your church. But when I hear the word church, I think it comes with a lot of layers, in a good sense and in a bad sense. But at the end of the day, the church is my everything. It's all I've ever known since I was a kid. I've committed really my entire life to building the church. I am passionate about it. I love the local church, and I full on believe in everything that the local church represents, in a good, healthy, biblical church sense. And yeah, I love it.
You've mentioned, you've committed your whole life to this. Is there anything in particular from your personal experience that you can say this has shaped something very specific in my life towards faith, following Jesus?
Yeah, totally. My parents started a church when I was one. So I grew up my entire life in the church, and I've been around it literally my entire life. There's never been a season of my life that I've not been in the church. And so, regarding my own faith, my theology, my ability to read scripture and interpret scripture, my passion and commitment to walk out a Christian lifestyle, all of that has been shaped and honed within the local church. And so I would say very, very much so for me and my journey, the local church has been absolutely integral in my faith and my understanding of God, and really dictated the kind of lifestyle that I've wanted to live.
The Bible speaks about the church in different ways, different metaphors. Is there a particular metaphor of the church that you resonate more with?
I mean, it's a great question. I know that it's referred to as the bride, or it often, speaks about Jesus's heart toward the church, like it's his bride. I think that is an important, I think it's an important thing for us to remember and remind ourselves of. Reason being, churches, hopefully, I understand that there's a broad spectrum of church when I say this, different denominations, different types, and they can operate and function in different ways. But if we're to take what the church is, it comes from the Greek word, the ekklesia, which is a gathering or an assembly set apart by God, called out by God. If we look at what the church is, there are humans. God entrusts us as leaders, as pastors, to lead the church, which means, we are not perfect. We are not Jesus. Yet, for the scriptures to reference the church like it's his bride, I think that sets a good example of how we should treat the church, that we should treat it as sacred. We should treat it as holy, that we should respect it properly. So I like that kind of analogy, metaphor. Obviously, Corinthians as well speaks about it, like we're all part of a body, and we all have a unique part. I would say that is probably something that I would associate more with, kind of understanding that we all have our own giftings, we all have our own callings. The scripture speaks about ministerial giftings. There's all of these things that the scripture talks about how we can all be unique in who we are and the way that God has created us. But together, if we all understand the piece and the part that we play collectively, we can, I think, create the kind of church body that God, intends for us to. So, yeah, I think that would be, for me, a good metaphor, a good analogy of what the church is.
You are Australian by birth and then moved to the US. So you've had this connection to church in two different nations, although you've seen the spectrum of the church across the nations. Can you speak to anything specific about, are there differences? from your time in Australia to now living in California, anything that stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to concede as an Australian speaking to a bunch of South Africans that yes, you are much better than us at rugby. That is an important fact. And it pains me a little bit, you know, but that's okay. That's all right. I have been blessed to be a part of a church that spread and expanded around the world. You and I met in London, of all places. And, you know, I've been involved in churches in a lot of different areas. I was 21 when I moved out of home, and I went and lived in Kiev in the Ukraine, interning in church there. I lived in London. I've lived on the east coast of America, and then I spent many years in Australia. My wife and I planted multiple kind of church locations there, and then it was 2013, 2014 that we moved to Los Angeles and planted churches in LA, San Francisco, and Orange County. And so kind of seen local church operating in a lot of different ways. And I would say, you know, you might hear cliche statements like our message doesn't change, but our method does. There is, you know, concepts and thoughts like that that I think come into play when we look at churches around the world. But yeah, our message doesn't change. I think the example of what, you know, Jesus set with his disciples, you know, the beginning of Acts, the book of Acts, really gives a great description of what the church is and I believe should be. But the way that they operate and the way that they may look different is the fact that all of our cities and our towns, you know, our nations are different. So I'd say for me, I've spent the most time in the church in Australia and then the church here in America. And I would say the very fact that America, you know, it's been built on these foundations of Christianity. There is this, you know, whether you want to call it post-Christianity, but there is this faith, this Christian roots that exist here in this nation that you see amongst people as you meet them, as you get to know them. There's this great rich foundations in a lot of people of faith. And, you know, Australia is a very secular nation. You know, it's hard for me to talk now. I've not been there for the last 12 years or so. So I understand that it's, you know, I'm speaking from a dated perspective. And it's important that I acknowledge that. But, you know, I would say growing up in the church in Australia, even in high school, I would talk to people and tell them about Jesus. And they'd never heard that name Jesus before, which I think if you were in America, that concept or that idea would just be so foreign. So, you know, what am I getting at there? I think the idea of what we're trying to create within church should be really similar. I think we should look at the book of Acts. I think we should make sure that we are, you know, studying the scripture and our interpretations and our theologies, doctrines, creeds, all of those things. But the way that we operate may look really different depending on the city that we're in, the town that we're in, the state or the nation that we're in.
What would you say? Let's talk California.
Yeah.
The average person in California, what is their view towards church?
I live in Southern California, Los Angeles. We're in Orange County now. You know, LA specifically is just a melting pot. There are people from all over the world. And so, you know, they come in with different perspectives, different worldviews. And once again, even if I'm to think about Southern California, it's really hard to generalize because you have all sorts of different conversations. It's one of the things that I absolutely love. You know, I've always had such a heart for people. It's dictated who I am, you know, my pastoral heart, my heart to shepherd and care for people. And so from that perspective, I really love to ask questions. I love to dig in. And yeah, it is really hard to generalize. Where we're at now in Orange County, there are a lot of great churches around, and I'm actually amazed at, just people's faith. I would say their knowledge of scripture, you know, their basic thoughts. But what I do notice is people's attitude to be planted in a church here, seems to be somewhat fickle. And now I can't speak for everyone, you know, but I do find that a lot of people, they just kind of bounce around churches. They come to a new church. They've been a part of several churches in the past, and now they're here in a church and they spend a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. But then something happens, and for whatever reason, they kind of move churches again. So yeah, there could be different reasons for that for different people, but that is something that I have noticed in this Southern California area.
Just playing devil's advocate here. Like, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with people bouncing around, being at a church for a little time and then, you know, heading off to another one? Is that such a big problem?
Yeah, I personally, I believe it is. Look, if you're in an environment that's not healthy, you're not growing, you know, there may be leadership or decisions being made that could be impacting people negatively, then wholeheartedly, I encourage you to find a good, healthy community. It's important, absolutely important. The problem I see, you know, Psalm 92 gives us a great scripture. It's something we're all familiar with. And, you know, the scripture says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. That concept of being planted, you know, I get the imagery like a tree going in this deep root system below the surface that helps it stay grounded. It's immovable, you know, and that's what where the scripture talks about flourishing. This is a principle that we've taken out of that psalm, and you know, I've really dug into and looked at in life. You know, I believe that there's multiple dynamics to this. And there's the side where, you know, people like staying surface level. They don't want to get too involved. They don't want, you know, they want to keep their options open. I don't think that's a healthy way to live. If we look at Jesus with his disciples, you know, he spoke pretty firmly. Unless you leave this, leave that, leave all that stuff behind and follow me. You know, it's a pretty bold all-in kind of statement. And I believe that's the kind of attitude that we should have in church. If we want to flourish, if we want to truly thrive, if we want to be in good, healthy community and kind of be discipled and grow in so many ways, then, you know, staying surfacey and just kind of bouncing around, I don't believe that we fully get that. There is that side to it. But, you know, I believe that there is also a side where people sometimes, look, I say this delicately, all right, because I understand every situation is different, but, you know, sometimes people like to criticize. They like something that they can point the finger at. They like something that they can blame. And so time and time again, when you're pastoring, you know, you'll hear people, they've allowed bitterness to grow for whatever reason. Maybe they've found offense at something. And they kind of use that to sort of point the finger and blame and whatever. And they bounce around. And, you know, generally what you see is people that have an issue and they come to a new church community often bring the same issues with them. It's not necessarily a part, again, sometimes, you know, things are not good, but it's not necessarily because a pastor is bad. It's not necessarily because something that was said was offensive. It's just, you know, someone has taken that, blamed, pointed the finger, typically spread some gossip and spread some negativity as well, go somewhere else. And then sooner or later, that same thing kind of rises again. And you begin to realize the issue is not the house or the church, it is the person that kind of takes that around.
You spoke of healthy churches and you spoke of being planted. Let's start with healthy. What does that look like to you? Can you describe a healthy church?
I think there's a lot of ways to describe a healthy church, and it can look different in different places. But I think an environment where the word of God is being preached openly and honestly and with integrity, I think that is really important in church. I think creating the kind of atmosphere that is full of prayer and faith, you know, I think that's an important thing. I've seen a lot of Christians and a lot of believers that maybe started with the foundation of prayer and things like that, but they kind of forget that. I love our church here in Orange County, Oceans Church. We have Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have corporate prayer that's just open invite to whoever wants to come. And we spend an hour to an hour and 15 minutes just in worship and prayer. And I think that's really important. You know, I love taking scriptures like that Psalm 92 one and kind of flipping it on its head. So therefore, if we're to say, you know, if the scripture is to say, you know, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, well, you flip that on the head. Well, if I am not flourishing, or if a person is not flourishing in this church that they're a part of, then why would they stay planted? I think that's a great question for leadership to ask, you know. Will the kids in this church grow up in a good, healthy environment, knowing biblical, godly principles to live by? You know, will my teenagers, my young people be surrounded in an environment that is healthy and conducive to them growing in a way that understands good, godly, biblical principles, allows them to thrive and flourish, you know, in their lives? You know, is this the kind of place where, you know, you can build good friendships or, you know, receive good teaching, or, you know, all of those things are good questions to kind of ask and to look at when it comes to what a healthy church looks like.
And so, Ben, how do you get planted? How do you be planted in a church?
Look, life looks different to everyone. You know, we went through a big season. We have four kids, three teenagers right now. And, you know, there's things like sport and different things that exist. And for us, you know, sometimes that means Sunday games. And, you know, I've been through a season right now where I've been working three jobs and, you know, there's different demands and things on that. So I think if I was to create like a cookie cutter, you need to be at everything, serving at everything the church has to offer. Look, I personally think that might be somewhat extreme. You know, that being said, what does it look like to be planted? I think tithing is important. It's a biblical principle. It's criticized in our current world, but usually the ones that criticize it are the ones that have an issue with money, with finances, and so they want to kind of point the finger or try to discredit, you know, the church, what they're doing with the money, that sort of stuff. But I love to kind of not be swayed by any of that. I love teaching people, you know. These are biblical principles. If you look at what Malachi 3 speaks of, it's saying, you know, try me now in this, test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven for you, pour out so much blessings for you that there won't be room enough to contain it. So often when it comes to things like giving, tithing, you know, my encouragement is not about the church or the organization. It's saying, hey, this is a biblical principle that will help you out. You know, I encourage you to apply that. I think serving, I think we should all find some capacity that we can serve at church, whether that's outreach, whether that's missions programs, whether it's being involved in the youth ministry or the kids ministry, or involved on a Sunday with whatever it could look like, from setting up to hosting to packing down. But I believe that when we get an understanding of what it looks like to serve, you know, which again, it's a biblical principle, a godly principle, we start to thrive in that. We had a huge event this past weekend, which we may talk about more, with Baptize California, you know, but I'm like, forget my heart to pastor, my involvement in church. This is like history making stuff that I just want to be there and witness with my own eyes and kind of hear the stories with my own ears. And so why am I saying that? I would serve and volunteer just to be a part of what God is doing. You know, and I think it's the same within our local churches. You know, when we look at the testimonies, when we hear the great reports of what God is doing, and to know that we could be a part of this, I think it's a really beautiful and special thing. And so, there's probably other things that I could mention, but I think there's some basics, you know, knowing what it looks like to tithe, finding some sort of consistency, serving and being involved. If there are small groups, being involved in a small group that's going to help you build good relationship and kind of grow in your faith and your knowledge or understanding of scripture, having a community that you can pray with. There's a bunch of these things, you know.
Tell us about that, Ben. What was Baptize California? Can you explain that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just an incredible to show of God's goodness and faithfulness. My pastor, Pastor Mark Francie, kind of got a vision a few years ago. He had been reading books and studying about some of the great revivals that have taken place in Southern California, Jesus People Movement, Azusa. There's some great things that have happened here, and the church is only 6.5 years old right now. But he got this vision and just felt like, God has done some incredible things that have been really based around this baptism movements in decades gone by. And I really felt the question, that it was, he was ready to, God was ready to do something really significant and special again, and kind of felt the question, would you do it? And so Pastor Mark, dreamed about this. And if we wind back 2 years to 2023, it started at Pirates Cove, which is kind of famous to the Jesus Revolution. And we did a mass baptism there, rallied hundreds of churches to come together. And on that one day, there was actually 4,166 people water baptized, which, I mean, I can't even begin to describe to you how unbelievable it was to just be in that environment. And so that happened over 6 hours. People were just coming and going, and we just did, we're doing acoustic worship on the cliffs, and really, really beautiful moment. There was, miracle stories happening. So I got involved right after that. Pastor Mark asked me if he would, help with this vision. The vision was that this would grow to California, and then it would grow to America, and then eventually that we would take this to the nations. And so, yeah, I worked for a long time last year. It's based around Pentecost weekend. So last year, that was May 18th and 19th, is when we gathered. We went to Huntington Beach here in Southern California. We worked once again with hundreds of churches, and we kind of did it in two different ways. And so on Pentecost weekend, we set up a big stage and invited all these worship artists. We spent really a lot of money, really targeting strategic marketing and so on to get word, get people to the beach. And then we also had churches in every single county across California, which California is big, but we had churches in right across California hosting in their churches. So there was two different ways that people could do it. If you could get to Huntington Beach, if you lived anywhere close, come to the beach. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to pray. We're going to baptize a lot. If not, if you're from Northern California, then look on this map and find a location or a church close to you. And across that weekend, Pentecost weekend last year, we saw over 6,000 people water baptized at Huntington Beach, and over 6,000 in those churches. So collectively, it was 12,216 people water baptized, which honestly, I mean, this is revival miracle stuff that we are witnessing and that we're a part of. And so the vision has now expanded. We've been working really hard this past 12 months, and we just had Baptized California at Huntington Beach again. It was rainy and cold, which, if you know Southern California, we don't ever get rain. But it rained and it was cold. We prayed so hard. We're like, Lord, don't let anything stop people coming to this beach. But it was absolutely incredible. And then we've been rallying churches now in every single state right across America to host it, either in their own church or unite with other churches in the area and find a public area and do it. And so this year we did this on May 3rd. We just did this, and by the grace of God, Bevan, on that day there was 7,752 people who were water baptized. You know me, Bevan, my heart was breaking at every single person I talked to, just asking, why are you making this decision today? What does Jesus mean to you? Just hearing the stories of substance abuse, alcohol abuse, I mean, endless amounts of stories, and then just seeing what Jesus is doing in people's lives and being water baptized there. It was absolutely beautiful. And then we're continuing to ramp toward now June 8th, which is Pentecost Sunday this year. And we have every single state across America right now with churches signed up, hundreds of churches. The media right now is grabbing a hold of this. It's on all sorts of news, and it's blowing up on social media. So a lot of people are asking questions. And our prayer is that it doesn't matter what denomination you are, doesn't matter what church you're a part of. Yes, there may be things that we might disagree on in terms of doctrine or creed or our interpretations of scripture. Yes, we may disagree on certain things, but what can we agree on? We can agree on the Great Commission. We can agree on the fact that we as Christ's followers are called to go and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we have churches from Baptists to evangelicals to non-denomination, I mean, right across the full spectrum of churches that are jumping on board with this. And we're just believing for God to continue to do something great with this entire movement. And I'm excited. I over the next coming years, I want to take this to the nations. I want to see unity across the body of Christ. I want to see great revival continue to sweep our nations. And there's no doubt God is doing something so great and significant right around the world. And I believe that this is just one of many great movements that are happening right now that is fruit and testimony to this.
You've managed to get churches to collaborate on this. Can you talk to us about that? How are you seeing the best ways forward in seeing a greater collaboration with the church?
I don't know that I'm going to give the right answer. I'll give a response to the best of my ability. I think in years gone by, maybe the generations above us, I think there was a bit of kind of that lone wolf, that kind of like I'm the alpha kind of mentality in churches that existed. I'm not speaking on behalf of everyone, but I do feel like in generations maybe before us, when it came to church, it was kind of like, all right, this is my church. This is kind of what I'm called to do. This is my community. And we kind of stay focused. People would stay focused on that. I think some of the younger generations coming through, I don't think they have that same thing within them. I think there is, we grew up with social media. We grew up kind of being able to watch and see what was happening around the world. And I think that has formed some of that mentality where it's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, how could we do some of that together? I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it represents the heart of God a little bit more. I do think there were things that have really caused disunity in the body of Christ. There are a lot of people that do disagree on certain interpretations of things. And I get it. I really do. I get it. But I think God chose to roll out his plan intentionally. You know, God is God. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And he understands that people are not the same. Bevan, you and I, we may like certain things together. We like sport. We like surfing. You know, we like family. We like climbing mountains and doing things like that. You know, there's things that we agree on. There's things that we like together. But the truth is, you are different than me. And you're going to connect with other people that I am not. I am going to connect with some people you are not. I believe that God uses that. When it comes to some of the different styles, I think he uses that. But there are things that have there's things like competition that exists that can bring disunity. I believe that a real secret to unity in churches and what we're seeing with Baptize America and all of this is when there is a true humility. This is God. This is his bride. This is his church. I think when there is humility, I think, you know, some of us younger generations of leaders that are coming through right now don't have that kind of like alpha sort of thing within us, but there is this, maybe excitement to collaborate and to work with other churches and, especially when there's great causes and great things taking place. There's possibly more sides to it, but I do believe that when we focus on what we can agree on, when we strive toward unity, when we maybe respect things that I don't believe are heaven and hell, maybe just different different perspectives on, like I said, doctrine, theology, creed, whatever, that maybe just may dictate the way that we live our lives slightly different, I can go, cool, I respect you. I respect what God's teaching you and the path that he's leading you on. Kind of this is the path that I'm going, but what can we agree on? What can we work together on in order to bring glory to God, you know?
Any final words, speaking now, I guess, specifically to us in the East Coast of South Africa?
I would just encourage each and every single one of you, you know, God is so good. He is so faithful. And I think local church is, I believe it's a necessity. I think it's important. I think there's a lot of things that can distract us. There's a lot of things that can, you know, the enemy can use to kind of take us away from that. I'm not saying by any means that you need to go to church to go to heaven. I don't believe that, but I believe that if we want to grow, be the best that we can be, I think if we want to understand that the full richness of the Word of God and what it looks like to live a Christian life, then, you know, being planted in a good, healthy community is really important. And I would say this, you know, I used to say this when I planted our church in Los Angeles, but, you know, our faith is in Jesus. That's where our faith is. If you place your faith in a leader or in a pastor, they're human. And as great as they are, sooner or later, they may let you down in one way or another. Hopefully, it's not some extreme thing, but in one way or another, they could be distracted and didn't notice you. They could say the wrong thing at the wrong time because their mind is occupied in something else. But, you know, there's always going to be the things that the enemy uses to bring discouragement or you know, to take us off track. But when our faith is not in a leader or pastor, our faith is in Jesus Christ, then we can understand what it looks like to build a life for him. That's where we can take the best and what's needed from pastors, leaders, and church communities and apply that, but not allow the enemy to rip us off or rob us when it comes to the importance of good local church community. So I would encourage all of you on that. But, you know, get involved, like serve your local church, be a part of what God is doing. I do believe it is his plan, and I believe it's the best thing that we can do.